All right, good afternoon. My name is Genevieve Polk, and I'm an ORISE Fellow at the Division of Nutrition, Physical Activity, and Obesity. And thank you guys again for sticking around for our panel. So I'm going to briefly be talking about, how we collaborated for success and using partnership activities to support the Department of Health and Human Services physical activity guidelines. So first off, I have no relationships to disclose. And as the others have said before, there are a lot of acknowledgments that need to happen. This truly took a village, and also the partnership piece in particular as well. So thanking those who, those from the CDC who are up on the podium with me, as well as those from HHS. And this is also, I'm presenting mostly on behalf as well for the President's Council on Physical Fitness and Sports, Melissa Johnson, who couldn't be here. So I wanted to acknowledge her leadership role in this as well. And then there are some writers, and Deb Galuska, who was our helped us get our stuff through clearance, so I wanted to give her a special acknowledgement. So the background, so you've heard a lot about the physical activity guidelines, and as part of this, we decided that we really wanted to engage public physical activity partners as well as our internal CDC partners in states as much as possible and as much as we could prior to the actual launch. And the reason for the creating the partnership plan was twofold. We really wanted to promote the upcoming announcement of the guidelines, and we also really wanted to try to get buy-in from key stakeholders. And this was slightly tricky because all these materials were embargoed, so we were sort of asking for a promise of support of something that they were not going to know about until the future. But we really wanted them to get sort of excited, and something that I've learned from this is that the physical activity community is very unified and excited, so it actually wasn't as hard of a sell as I thought it might be initially. So the key stakeholders that we had, basically, we sort of divided up our tasks, and the President's Council on Physical Fitness and Sports took the lead over public physical activity partners, and the CDC really took the lead on addressing the need of the states and other internal CDC groups connected to physical activities. And basically, this allowed HHS and the CDC to leverage our resources, including, you know, manpower and or woman power, as it were, and time and effort. It helped us avoid duplication of efforts because our division has similar partnerships with those that HHS has. So we didn't want to make it seem like they were getting one message from CDC and one from HHS. So that really helped us avoid duplication of efforts and to really create a comprehensive partnership plan. So in terms of engaging the public physical activity partners, the President's Council actually has a large number of physical activity partners. They had a President's Challenge, and I think they have 225 partners. So they really have a lot of people with whom they work. And in addition, the Office of Disease Prevention and Health Promotion took advantage of this opportunity of the creation of the communications team and sort of this effort to use what I sort of dubbed the central office. So this was actually a... it was called a collaborative workspace, and it was online, and I'll show you a screenshot in a minute. And this was basically, it was an R&D contract with ZTEC, and that was, we were sort of the, sort of a little bit of a guinea pig to sort of see how it works. So HHS is up in D.C. and CDC is down in Atlanta to sort of, would a collaborative workspace as a meeting management tool help us sort of feel more connected and sort of organized together as we work together. And then we also took the opportunity while we're using it to actually see if there's a way to actually engage external partners. So we actually used this in two different ways. So here's a snapshot. So this is the library. And as you can see, so there's toolkit users guide. So basically, as we use this, internally it was used by our communications team. And this allowed us, as you saw, to post materials, to react to new ideas. You know, there were, as this rolled out, there were a lot of different things that sort of need to be accomplished so people could, you know, go online and log in and say which ones they were going to help out with. It was the frequently asked questions or the PowerPoint for talking to stakeholders. So that was really helpful. And then externally, this actually ended up being an interesting way to work with external physical activity partners. And we actually invited 16... I'm getting ahead of myself. You'll see this again in a minute. 16 sort of pre-launch reaction partners that were in the physical activity world. And they were allowed, so once more, the actual guidelines were embargoed. But prior, they were able to look at the look and feel and sort of give HHS a chance to understand sort of what they would need to help promote the guidelines, since this is, you know, this was their world as well. So we wanted to make sure we could engage them as much as possible. So as I said, the President's Council and ODPHP invited 16 launch partners. So yeah, I did get ahead of myself. So they were able to react to look and feel and provide feedback on the stuff that they would that would be most useful for them to help disseminate them to their constituents. And they engaged, we didn't know, I couldn't get an exact number, either two or three conference call, the reaction group to go over during the different phases, the stuff that we were sort of rolling out. And in addition, they were invited to the October 7th launch. So there was a launch in the morning, I'm gonna show you some pictures, and then there was a partners forum. And so they were also invited to the partners forum to talk about what they were excited to do surrounding the new guidelines. So then moving on to engaging the states and CDC divisions. So this is really the CDC's effort to sort of engage the front line, as I've dubbed them. So we have we provide funding to 23 states in our division through a collaborative agreement. And the reason why we consider this to be of utmost importance is that many of them have staff who work directly in physical activity at the state level. So we really wanted to let the states know that these were coming out and to get them engaged and get them excited, because they're really our main vehicle for communicating messages down to the community level. So we really wanted to engage them. And then in addition, another important group that we recognize at other CDC divisions, and there are many of them, and we've initially when we looked, a lot of them actually were part of our coordinating center. So we're part of the chronic disease center. And so there are a lot of chronic diseases that have a physical activity component or one that they use to prevent said chronic diseases or help with maintenance. So those are like heart disease, arthritis, I'm only listing a couple of them, diabetes, adolescent and school health, women's health. But we also wanted to reach out because there are actually people in the National Center for Environmental Health and especially the Built Environment Group that were also particularly interested in this, because this is something that they're looking into. So what we did is prior to the launch, we sent the states a survey via an email. We have a listserv that we used. And basically, similar to what had been done with the reaction group on the collaborative workspace, we basically asked them for guidance about the types of materials that they would need to promote the physical activity guidelines. And then based on their feedback, we actually developed and are continuing to develop some materials that will be part of our toolkit. And these are supposed to be sort of a addendum or to work directly with the HHS one. So these are not going to be sort of separate entities. They're supposed to work together. But we really were looking at the health, the practitioner audience, and we really wanted to give them some little bit more in-depth detail about the guidelines, specifically related to adults, older adults, and children. And then we recognized that the states might actually have different questions that either they may be asked or they may need to be ready to answer, so we were going to sort of adapt the frequently asked questions for their needs. In terms of engaging CDC divisions, the purpose of engaging them or that we really wanted to make sure that there's accurate and consistent messaging. In particular, a lot of their websites and documents that they have relate to physical activity in relation to their disease or condition. And then in addition, those divisions also have listservs that they use to communicate to their states or to the groups that they work with. So we wanted to make sure that if they were going to sort of send out a push, that all of our messages would be accurate and consistent. And we also wanted to, with the other CDC divisions, considering we're all part of the same, you know, governmental family, to continue to generate that enthusiasm and buy-in around these new guidelines. So we actually held a conference call with them prior to the launch, and it went very well, and they were excited and anxious to see the new guidelines. So that went well. So this is some pictures from the launch on October 7th. So in the top corner, you have the Assistant Secretary for Health, Dr. Garcia, and to his right, to your right is, Secretary Michael Leavitt, excuse me. And then in the other picture, in the lower picture, you have the acting Surgeon General, Dr. Steve Galston. We were really lucky to get two brothers who are Olympians who won in Taekwondo, and they were great. They were really enthusiastic. It's nice to have them there. And then I don't know if some of you guys it's blocked, but then there's Penny Royal, who was also one of the main figures in spearheading this activity, and then Melissa Johnson from the President's Council. So, and then the reason why I'm showing these pictures is that afterwards we had the partnership forum, and it really was amazing the amount of enthusiasm and energy that this had generated. It was a great day, and everybody got up and came to the microphone and sort of said what they were going to do, and they're still, the HHS is actually still in the process of sort of getting all those notes together And I think they're going to put them up on their website. But in general, a bunch of organizations, the main messages that they got were that they sort of shared is that they were really excited about the new guidelines. They were going to send them to their constituents. They were going to continue to promote physical activity. That was part of most of their missions. But they were really excited, and we're going to use these guidelines and e-letters and listserv. So it was a little bit overwhelming, the amount of energy in the room. So that was great. So what were some of the lessons that we learned in doing this? So first and foremost, that working under an embargo was very difficult. Because we really wanted, especially when you're generating a partnership, you, in an ideal world, it would be very open and two-way, and we could give it to them in advance, and they could react a little bit more. But in general, I think that given the circumstances, I think it worked out really well. And that in general, that even if you are working under a type of situation where you can't share the key materials, you can still have partnerships. It may just have to be under a different sort of set of principles. And one thing that we learned is to share as much as you can and with frequent updates if possible, so not leaving people in the dark. And in general, the reactions to the collaborative workspace, I think this is a really interesting time to try to use that sort of virtual office space. And I think from internally, from the communications team standpoint, I think we're not used to working that way, so it took us a little while to not still email each other documents and not operate within the same framework that we'd been using. But I think in general it was very helpful to say or to know that the documents that you were supposed to review were all being housed together, and given that we're not in the same city, we can't just sit together in a conference room. I think that actually was pretty helpful. And then we haven't gotten a sense from the reaction partners with their, you know, if they liked using it, but we're going to hopefully hear from them about that. And then in terms of the reaction to the CDC internal call, like I said, it went really well. The Division of Adolescent School Health is already talking about groups that they're going to work with that they've already worked with to really promote these guidelines. I think the arthritis group wants to create some fact sheets, and they're going to work with HHS on that. So there's a lot of stuff sort of in the pipeline. So it's been great. So our next steps, you've now heard this a number of times, so hopefully you'll get really excited. So we would love for everybody to go onto the health.gov website to become a supporter. And in addition, unfortunately, it was too bad that the sound didn't work, but the videos and CDC has done a revamping of our physical activity website, and it's great. So we would love for everybody to come and look at the videos and see what we have in store. We're going to have some success stories going up, very exciting. And then in addition, I think as Kay mentioned, there will be an ongoing use of this collaborative workspace, so they're going to redesign it and sort of continue use with the external partners. So I think it was an interesting technological adventure, and it will continue. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Genevieve. We have some time for questions, so if you have questions, there's a microphone right here so everybody can hear down here on the floor. If you have questions. Any other questions? I have a question. We talk about 10 minutes bouts or sessions. And then there's some discussion about changing the messaging to 2 hours and 30 minutes. Do you see any challenges there in terms of you can accumulate with the messaging 2 hours and 30 minutes, but you can do that with 10-minute bouts, then people still have to do math?
How can we create a
math-free
world?
Yeah, so I guess that's... I mean, particularly with getting 150 minutes a week, so you can do that in 15, 10-minute bouts. Is that what's being suggested, and you don't have to get 30 minutes a day?
Yes, that's true. You can do this in 10-minute bouts, and I think it is easier for people to think in terms of hours and minutes than total minutes. But if you do this in 10 minutes at a time, you're right. You're still going to have that challenge of probably tracking is the best way to do it. Writing, if you're going to do 10-minute bouts, probably want to use a tracking tool like the one you developed.
Jude? Okay, well, we can talk about that later. I did have one additional question, if nobody else had a question, because I'm really interested in this. Has there been any research on adherence to selling physical activity in 10-minute bouts versus 30-minute bouts of exercise in terms of when you try to encourage people to exercise and they can accumulate based on the old recommendations of, three 10-minute bouts a day? Is it likely that people will exercise in 10-minute bouts, or once they're out there, will they just say, well, I'll stay out here? Thank you.
I have a question. Carol Kennedy, our minister from Indiana University. And I found out about this through
old guidelines. So I'm curious, are the ACSM guidelines now the old guidelines, and these are replacing them?
Other guidelines.
These are guidelines from the federal government, based on a federal advisory committee report. So ACSM has endorsed these guidelines. They were actually at the launch. So that's pretty cool. They're actually very consistent with one another. So I don't think that, I think they overlap almost, I'm not going to give you a percentage, but it's a large extent. The difference actually is in the frequency.
Trayano, who is on the steering committee, talk about that a number of times. We want to make
there is a plan to pass an executive order to do this, and that would be reoccurring. The idea is to have this be mandated every 5 years, like the dietary guidelines are. So that's the plan. The executive order was not signed by this administration, but there's hope that it would be signed from the next administration.
We have a 60-40 chance of that. that being said, is there other hope that this, because like you pointed out very well, there's more step deaths in a lot of these areas to support them, and is there a plan B?
Well, I mean, we're sort of, I'm not going to say gearing up, but we're aware that this could be a possibility over the long haul. So just I'll give you an example. The database that we use to collect a lot of the information for the advisory committee when we did the literature review, we're revamping that website. So internally, we have a better product now, but we'll have it in a couple years. The product will be better to able to capture what we need for that committee the next time we have to do this. So we're, you know, we don't have our heads buried in the sand that it's not going to happen again, and right now, I don't know that I'm hopeful, but I guess that maybe when this calms down in about a year, I might be hopeful that it happens again. But so I think we're realistic. We're trying to be based in reality that this is probably going to happen again. But it's not full of it. None of that really is.
One of the things that struck me about today's presentation is, and I'd never thought about this before, was that your focus groups weren't particularly fond of the word guidelines. Mm. And it's pretty salient everywhere we look right now, contained guidelines. And if, I tell my students that the most accurate dose response understanders in the world are undergraduate students. They want to know, how much does it take to get an A? They don't want a guideline. They want to know exactly. Because you give them a guideline, they make it a B. So I think at the end of the day, it's made me think a little bit about, you know, why do we have guidelines? Why don't we have recommendations? We have good evidence.
Yeah, I think the health funder research did show that people want to know how much do they need, just like for students, how much does it take to get the A? So I think the health funders get active information, talk about how much do I need. So I do agree that is a term that is helpful as you go out and talk to people. Use that term rather than guidelines or along with the guidelines. The controversy about whether to use the term recommendation or guideline, I'm sure that the committee that Janet was on spent hours talking about the topic. I don't know if you want to shed any light on it, but I think my interpretation is that the term guideline is a stronger statement than a term recommendation. Janet, do you want to
add to that? This is the federal government, so maybe it can become a law.
Any other questions? I would like to remind you that the Public Health Education Health Promotion Section Social is this evening at 6:30, and that's in room 4. And then also the Physical Activity SPIG will have their special interest group. Will have their evening reception tonight at 6:30 in Convention Center Room 11A, and the inaugural 5K fun run and walk is tomorrow morning at 6:30. So if you're a contemplator or a preparer, perhaps you could go out and run or walk tomorrow morning at 6:30. If we could have one more round of applause for the panelists. And thank you for your attention this afternoon. Have a good evening.
What's going on, brother? You doing all right? Good to see you.
Yeah. Well,
things going well?
The trip. Yeah. Yeah, you know, just trying to carve out an edge when I decided to get this. It's trying to get this big off the ground. It's just, yeah.
Yeah.
created, we started with themes, but now we've taken the themes off to generate some initial items. And so we're to the point now where we've almost generated all the items that we need. Justin, this is Abby, who's one of my doctoral students. She's going to start working on it. I had another doctoral student who's working on it. She's not going to work on it. So Abby's going to have some of that. And then we're going to send it out to some experts to review. So we're hoping to do that before the holidays, but now we're kind of crunched this 3 periods.
Oh, so you're in
that
expert
in the
well, that's one way
to pay me. All right. All right. Well, I'm going to try to get over there and catch up. Okay. Okay. All right.
Well, I mean, it's relatively simple. I mean, it works just like when you present. Well, I don't know. If it did, it's in the big room, I'll do it.
Are you going to the audition?
Yeah, I was going to be. Yes, I was going to be there.
Just to
do 5 hours.
You know, they're exercise guys. They've been passed out.
Passed out or so.
Zapped.